But, you know, I think until, you know, 9:30, let's hear from the man of God. Stretch your hand out for him.
Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Ron, Belinda, for having us up. Good friends. We just so appreciate being here. Glad we are here. Just do a little disclaimer up front. 24 hours ago, we probably couldn't have been here. We just got back from Guatemala Monday and had a two-day turnaround, and most of those 2 days we were laid low with some kind of virus we picked up in the airplane, I guess. I don't know. It just, I'm about 24 hours ahead of Rhonda, but she's coming around. But we were actually driving up here yesterday and had intended to come all the way, and we got to Champaign, Illinois, and said, we're done. And we got in bed, and I shivered and sweated all night and flushed it out of my body. And I don't know what, you know, it was, well, I know what it was. It was the devil just trying to, trying to stop us, but he didn't stop us. We're here, and I want to go ahead and get, you know, and another disclaimer. I don't know. I've been very emotional today. I mean, I was just sitting around talking to these guys, and I just found myself tears rolling. So I hope you don't mind a few tears rolling, but you know, that just the presence of the Lord can just be so emotional. Nothing wrong with being emotional, and He just breaks through any hardness that we have and just wilts us like vinegar on lettuce, man. Just just wilts us and humbles us and but you know that vinegar and oil dressing on lettuce is so good though. It's nothing wrong with wilted lettuce. Nothing wrong with a wilted spirit and soul that's humbled unto the Lord. So I just ask for the wilting of our hearts right now, that we'll just be pliable to you, God. That we'll just step into what you have for us tonight. That we'll just step into that. That we'll not pull back, we'll not draw back, we'll not sit on the sideline and say, wonder what this is all about. We already know what it's all about. It's about you, God. We don't have to wonder what it's about. It's about you. Why else would we gather on a Friday night? It's about you, God. It's always about you. It's all about you. And so, Father, just walk among us tonight. Imprint us with new realms of your glory. Just thumbprint us fresh and anew tonight, God. With your thumbprint. With your mark. Mark us this day, God. In your name we praise, amen. As we were driving through St. Louis yesterday, I don't know how many know Kent Henry? Anyone ever heard of Kent Henry? Okay, good. He, if you know, he lives in St. Louis, and we were driving through St. Louis, and he called me. He's been in our church several times, and I call him a good friend. And I get a phone call, and I look, and it's Kent Henry. So I pick it up, and if you know Kent Henry, he's kind of an old hippies, and, you know, hey, bro, what's going on, man? I said, well, man, I'm driving through your town. And anyway, he said, man, I just got to release this word. He said, where are you going? I said, well, we're going up to Michigan to speak to a group Friday night. He said, man, he said, that's so cool. He said, this word's just burning in me. And as I read it, he texted it to me. He shared it with me on the phone, but then he texted it to me. And as I read it, I thought, you know, it's no accident that he called me on the way up here. And so I felt, and then already hearing some of the things that's been spoken of tonight. So what he said, brother, he said, I see in my travels around the nation and the regions, he said, I see pastors and their leaders, they're standing, and they know that they've went as far as they can with where they're at, and they know there's something they got to step into. And he said, those that are willing to seek and take this next step, he said, Pastor David, I saw you on your podium at your church with your leaders, and this applies to Pastor Ron, the leaders here. He said, I saw you on your pulpit, and you had the leaders gathered around you, and you stepped into the light. And he said, you were gone for a long time. But he said, the seeking of the Spirit pushed you and your leaders into the light. And you stepped into the light and into the presence. And he said, in the light and in the presence, you were handed scrolls of light. You were handed scrolls of light. And he said, when you came back out, you handed everybody in your church their own scroll of light. And he said, as you were passing out those scrolls of light, he said, I saw chains breaking. He said, I saw the darkness fleeing. He said, I saw your congregation just go to a new level. And I think we all sense. I mean, in our travels, I sense it. So many are at that place right now. We know we're about to break through into a new realm. Anytime there's a breakthrough, there's always a tremendous resistance, and we feel that, we sense that. But creation is groaning, waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. And we are in that kairos moment where that groaning is getting so intense. And I sense we had a tremendous rainstorm on a Sunday about 3 or 4 weeks ago in our town. And the Lord showed, I said, Lord, what was that all about? I said, it was a historic rain in our town. I mean, I said, Lord, what's that about? He said, creation is groaning so hard for the manifestations. If man doesn't respond, nature is responding. Nature is responding to that groaning of creation that's waiting for the manifestation sons of God. And so this urgency to step into the light, I think, is at a moment where we have, and what's it going to look like? We don't know, but we don't have to know. That's why we got to go into the light. The heavens are alive with the sound of revelation right now, but we got to step in and get that revelation. What is a scroll? It's revelation. He described it as a scroll of light, but I see a scroll as, you know, when we come out, it's going to be precise, unique words for each one of us. That when we take it. And so I just thought that was a very, very interesting revelation that he had. And so I felt like it was good to release it here because, you know, already I hear that this area, this church, others that are involved here are in that same sense that there's just, we're ready to take that next step. We're ready to step in and we just have to take that step. We just have to take that step. So, Father, we just take that step, God. We know there's more. We know there's a greater manifestation that you're wanting to pour out on us as your sons and daughters. So, God, we're not going to pull back. We're not going to shy back. We're not going to say, oh, it's just too difficult. It has to be done. It has to be done. There's no choice. Not only is a region at stake, a nation is at stake. And so this step, this urgency, this step of faith has to be taken. So, Father, I just thank you that there's people in this region that are willing to take that step. And, Father, as they take that step, it'll turn the ship of this region. You know, an engine in comparative size to a ship, it's not a very big part of the ship. But it's vital to the ship. And in a region, you have a body of believers, but just a small group stepping into the light can steer the ship and can run the ship. You know, sometimes we get frustrated. Man, I wish this church would do this. I wish it. You know, let's just do what God calls us to do. And we that step in the light and bring back the scrolls of light, that's the engine that's going to guide the whole ship. That's the impetus to push that ship. And so bodies of believers like this that gathers on a Friday night, you're the engine of a much bigger body than you can even imagine. You're pushing this region.
Thank you, Lord.
You're steering this region. Whether you want to allow yourselves to step in and think that, you are steering this region. So don't think that these meetings are insignificant. Don't think that they're just something to turn the lights on in a building. No, this keeps the engine of the ship of the body of Christ in this region going properly. And one day we'll see the whole picture. You know, we just see in part now. But But just know that these meetings are very significant for this region.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I'm going to kind of, Ron's already mentioned Acts 1:8, but I'm going to kind of work backwards. I'm going to start out in the uttermost parts of the earth and just share some things that I've seen and experienced. And then, you know, if you've not aware, but God is calling and placing people in offices around the world that wouldn't normally be in those offices. And it's God that's doing it. You know, we've got our own nation to look at, but I've seen it in many. Brazil right now has a president that is spirit-filled, that is just opening up. They just recently, about 3 weeks ago, had a gathering there in Rio de Janeiro. 3 million people turned out for this gathering, this president, just supporting the president, supporting Israel. There's some very unique things. And then I just saw this yesterday, and I thought it was so amazing, and it just continues. We see it continue to expand. The president of El Salvador, how prophecies led new El Salvador president to run for office. He's only 37 years old. He's actually a Palestinian descent, but he became a Christian. But he was a businessman, very successful. In fact, very wealthy. Never had any intention of running for any political office, although he did run for mayor of a city and won because he felt he needed to give back something to the city. But he ran for mayor, served a term, and said, okay, I'm done that. I'm going back and being successful business. Well, last year, some pastors came to him and felt like the Lord spoke to them and to tell him he's to run for president. So they came to him, and he said, oh, no way. No way. And they said, well, just pray about it. And he said, okay, but I'm telling you right now, no way. So anyway, it came closer to time for election. Another group of pastors felt the same urgency in their spirits that this man was the one to run for president. So they came to him. And again, he said, you know, I told some other pastors I'm not going to do it. He said, I don't have any experience. I'm young. I got a good business. I'm not going to do it. And so they went away. So then one pastor came to him and said, brother, he said, the Lord told me you're to run for president. He said, don't put God forth in your life. And so he thought about it, and he went, oh, man. And so he gathered these pastors again and said, look, I'm part of this party, but, you know, you've got to, they really don't know me. They said, we'll get you on the ballot. So he agreed to run. Well, right off the bat, he upset all the powers to be in that party. They didn't like him, and actually kicked him out before the election, before the voting process hardly even started. They kicked him out of the party. And so he said, well, I can't, you know, in this country, you can't, unless you're part of a party, you can't run. And so he said, God, why'd you have me do this to have it all fall apart? And that night, after he asked God that, a man came to him, kind of in the nighttime, came to him and said, there is another way you can get on the ballot. And he said, well, how's that? He said, if we can get 50,000 signatures in 48 hours, I can get you on the ballot. And the guy said, well, that's impossible. And the guy said, if you'll give me the okay, I'll take care of it. He said, I just need to know if you're okay with it. And he said, well, sure, but I don't know how you're going to get 50,000 ballots. 48 hours later, they had 200,000 signatures. And so when this guy called this guy, he said, he said 20,000. He said, no, he said, I have 200,000 signatures of El Salvadorians that want you to run for president. So long story short, he ran for president, was elected overwhelmingly, youngest president ever. Now he's doing sweeping reform across the nation. He's taken all the cell phones out of the prisons because that's where the drug trade was being run from, the prisons. So one of the first sweeping reforms, he took cell phones out of the prisons. He's stopping all the drug trade in the country. And I said all this to say this, that God there's a spirit of Elijah that's going through the world right now, laying hands on the next Jehus, upon the Hazaels, upon the Elishas that are going to establish the mountain of the Lord in the earth this hour. It's what's happening. And man cannot figure it out. I mean, how do you get 200,000 signatures in 48 hours in a third world country? Except the Lord. And his word spoken to the prophets of the day, releasing the word and the word not returning void. And if you can believe this, I believe there's more nations in this world are going to see the same thing take place. There's a spirit of Elijah that's going to anoint a new realm of leader. You know, it's interesting when Elijah was told by God to go anoint Elisha. You know, after Elijah said, you know, I'm the only one left, you know, woe is me. God said, no, I've got 7,000 prophets. They've been in the caves. You know, you would have thought God would have said, man, they've been in that cave laying hands on one another. They're so anointed. They're ready to go. Isn't it interesting? God sent him to the marketplace to anoint the next prophet, which Elisha was plowing in a field, but that was the marketplace of the day. He bypassed all the prophets, the school of prophets, and went to the marketplace to bring up the next king or the next leader. And I believe across this land, this nation and other nations, there are marketplace prophets. They don't know it yet, but when the spirit of Elijah puts the mantle on them, they will rise to the occasion and they will establish the mountain of the Lord in the earth today. And this is proof of it right here, over and over. Brazil, El Salvador, the new British prime minister, very, very similar. We see it just hopscotching across this world that there's a new mantle being released in the earth today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Father, for your mantle of authority falling upon men and women today that will respond, that will hear, and will submit to your calling, God. And that goes all, you know, trickles all the way down, into the local church body. There's a fresh anointing that's falling. And that anointing, hallelujah. Yeah, let's go ahead and go there. You know, when Elisha, when he asked for the double anointing from Elijah, you know, as I was studying this today, the Lord also showed me, you know, I want the double anointing. I want the double anointing. You know, you can't get a double, triple, quadruple anointing. When you're anointed, you're anointed. You get confidence and courage in the anointing. That's how the anointing increases. And so what Elijah was really wanting, he was wanting the anointing, yes, but he was also wanting his spiritual sonship. He was wanting to be recognized as a spiritual son, which is what the groaning of the creation is doing today, waiting for the manifestations of sons. So when the anointing and the sons collide, that sonship and that anointing collide, and we grow in confidence and courage in that, the axe heads are going to float. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. So it's exciting times, church. It's really, really exciting times. As I said, we just got back Monday from Guatemala. I see some amazing churches down there just impacting that nation. Some powerful ministries that are training up, the next generation to take this kingdom into this world. And so I'm just thankful that God is using this. Us and how he's using Rhonda and I, as Pastor Ron said, we're definitely didn't expect any of this not too many years ago, It's caught us by surprise, to say the least. To just think how God just uses, like as Ron said, just when you say yes, God, you know, regardless of the cost, regardless of the place, regardless of the sacrifice, if we'll just say yes, my goodness, nations can be impacted, regions can be impacted. And so you're saying yes to a Friday night outpouring. This is impacting this nation. I mean, if two little people from Grove, Oklahoma can impact a nation, why can't this group impact a region? Why not? Yeah. Yeah. And you are. So, but we got to allow our taste buds to change. You know, what's the scripture said? Those that, you know, taste the new wine, many times they like the old wine better. We got to be willing to change our taste buds to taste this new wine that's being poured out. You know, what part of whatever hit me the last couple of days changed my taste buds. I mean, food tasted good today, but yesterday and the day before, I mean, I tried several different varieties of food, and it was the most horrible taste. And I know it wasn't horrible, but to my taste, it was. And so we can't get so stuck in yesterday's wine that we not allow our taste buds to change, because tomorrow is going to taste different. It is going to change. It is going to change. In Ezekiel, the dry bones vision that Ezekiel had. I'm not going to go the whole thing. I just want to focus on one verse here in Ezekiel 37, verse 8. After he starts speaking to the dry bones, Ezekiel, as he's looking in verse 8, he says, "Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over." So he got, you know, everything came together. Up in verse 8, it says, or verse 7, it says, "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together. Flesh came on them." So it looked like everything was done. You know, sometimes we stop short when we hear the noise and the rattling. We think, oh, that's good. We got some noise. We got some activity. We got some movement. Everything looks good. But there was one problem. There was no breath in them. And how many times, especially us Pentecostal, charismatic, whatever, full gospel, blah, 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 sometimes we fall short. We get satisfied with the noise and the rattling and the look of being complete. But if the breath is not in us, the breath of God, the Ruach of God, if it's not blowing through us on a continual basis, we're nothing more than just a mannequin without breath. And so God is wanting to blow through his body in such a fresh new, and he is blowing through. And so we can't get settled for the rattling. We can't get settled for what looks complete. It's not going to be complete until there's a whole move of God flowing through the churches. And this is what I've seen, and we just heard it from a ministry in Guatemala. And all over Guatemala, Paraguay, Nepal, these ministries that have blossomed have all come out of a fresh blowing of God, blowing through and just totally catching somebody off guard. But this one large church that we ministered at, the granddaughter of the founder told the story of how the church came about. Her grandfather was part of the Friends Church. I don't know if anybody's familiar with that denomination, but at least in Guatemala, it was very legalistic. I mean, the men still wore, you know, the long shirts, and she said even today, the men, they don't use deodorant. I mean, really, you know, I've never heard of that one before, but I thought it's a good thing that Guatemala is called the land of the eternal spring, because it never really gets into the 90s, so now I know maybe why the Friends Church is there. But anyway, so her grandfather, as a young minister, up and coming minister in that denomination, he was sent sent to America. This was, somebody asked me what, it was probably back in the 60s, I think, late 60s, sent to America to go to Bible school, and he was going to come back, and he was going to be the new face of the Friends movement in Guatemala. I mean, they just had all their hopes pinned on him. He was the great man of God that was going to lead the denomination. And so he went to America for 4 years and went to school, but there was something empty in him. He knew there was more, And so the day came, he graduated. He was on the plane flying back to Guatemala. All the people had a big celebration ready to receive him, come back to Guatemala and lead the people. And on the plane, he was so desperate. So this is that taking that step. I mean, this is a story of somebody that took a step, a seeker that knew there was more. And he knew there was more. He knew that something was missing. He knew there was a light that he had not stepped into. He knew it was out there. And so on the plane, coming back to Guatemala from America, and all that he knew how to do, he just said, God, there's more of you. I want to step into your presence. And on that plane, he was filled with the Holy Spirit and started speaking in tongues. Just no one around, I mean, just out of sheer hunger and desperation, knowing there was more. He stepped into the light, and in a sense, God handed him a scroll, a blueprint for his ministry. Well, needless to say, when the plane landed, the people were there to greet him. His wife was there to greet him. He got off the plane, and all he could do was speak in tongues. He could not speak Spanish, you know, Spanish speaking. All he could do was cry and speak in tongues. Of course, they thought that he had gone crazy. I mean, his wife was horribly embarrassed because, you know, cake, you know, celebration, welcome the hero home. And there he is just blubbering like an idiot. And he said, just take me to the church. I got to get to the church. So he came to the church, came to the altar, and just started crying out. His wife was, again, just sitting in the back, just, what is wrong? What has happened to my husband? He's been ruined in America. And so anyway, after a short time, he got to talking to her and came away from his senses. He was in his senses now. But he came back to the world and the world reality and explained to his wife what happened. Well, eventually she did get filled with the Holy Spirit. And their ministry just started exploding in Guatemala. Just people started, I mean, the Holy, this was happened kind of when the charismatic movement was sweeping America. This was along the same time. So needless to say, the Friends Church said, we can't, you got to leave us. So he left there, joined the Presbyterian Church. That worked for a while until he started having meetings in soccer stadiums and filling up soccer stadiums. And they said, we can't do anything with you. And so they started their own ministry, Eluvias de Gracia, Rivers of Grace, which is a mega, actually got 1,400 churches around the world now. And it started from one man stepping into the light, being handed a scroll of light from the King of Kings, and then taking it back and then handing it out. And that's all he did. Now his daughter and son-in-law pastor the church, and they travel around the world going to all their works, and just an amazing ministry. But one man hungry for God, and it's touched a nation. So why do you think that this group cannot do something similar in a whole lot smaller scale? Can absolutely be done. But we got to be willing to take that step into the light and then stay there. I think it's key that Kent said that he said, you were there for some time. You know, we'll step in and then, but then we'll, okay, that's enough. But he said, you and your leaders, you were there for some time. But when you came out, you were different. Oh, I want to be different, God. I want to be different today than I was yesterday. God, maybe make us even change us even more tomorrow. Oh, God. God, let us not settle for the rattling. Let us not settle for the look of a mannequin, God. We need your breath. Blow on us tonight, Holy Spirit. Blow fresh in us, God. For without your breath, we're nothing. Without the breath of the Spirit of God, we are nothing. But with your breath, God, we can do all things. We can shake nations, shake regions. We are and we will. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. Then look down at verse 12. He says, verse 9, he says, prophesy to the breath and prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on the slain that they may live. I don't know if I ever looked up that term, four winds, but I thought that's a weird. So I got doing study on that, and in essence, those four winds were mean a remarkable event. So he said, let a remarkable event blow through these dead bones. And so I'm declaring tonight a remarkable event is going to blow through this region. A remarkable event. That's going to come. It's going to be a four-wind event that's going to mark this region. That's going to do something to this region. That's going to change it. It's the dead bones are going to come alive. The religiosity, those that thought they had a breath of God, they've not had the four winds touch them yet. But once the four winds blow through, they're going to know that I'd fallen short. I didn't. Now they're going to take that step. And the four winds are going to change the face, the structure, and the organization of this region. And powers are going to be pulled down, and new structures are going to be put in place. Old structures, old mindsets, old wine that has inebriated the willingness to step forward. That old wine is being transitioned into a new wine. And along with it, the Lord says, I will affect the taste buds of the church that they'll not kick back at the taste of the new wine.
Thank you, Lord.
So come, O four winds, from the north, south, east, and west, and blow through this region a remarkable event. A front page newspaper event. Yes. A headline news event. That so captivates the heart and spirit of this region. That it'll forever alter the course going forward. Hallelujah. Now, Father, I just pray in each individual represented here, I just release a remarkable event encounter. Just give us all a remarkable event. God, we've all had events. They've all remarkable, but God, you've got more things even more remarkable for us. So just four winds of heaven touch each person here tonight with a remarkable event. Hallelujah. Whew. Yes. I like remarkable events, especially when God's involved in it. Hallelujah. So then he goes on and says down in verse 12, therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open up your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you up into the land of Israel, or the land of promise. Israel was a promised land. I'm going to bring you up out of your graves of hopelessness. Bring you up out of your graves of poverty. Bring you up out of your graves of despondency and lethargy and despair. Bring you up out of your graves of unforgiveness. Whatever grave the enemy has kept you in, God said, I'm going to bring you up out of that grave. I'm going to bring you up out of that grave and set you in the promised land. Woo, hallelujah. Yes. Mm. we find ourselves in so many graves that we put ourselves, we dig our own holes sometimes, don't we? God says, I'm going to bring you up out of that grave. That grave of inferiority or insignificance or whatever's opposite of the word of God. That's a grave that the devil's put you in. God says, my breath will bring you out of that grave. My remarkable events are going to break you out of that grave. Set you on the promised land. Hallelujah. Woo, yes, Lord, do it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my goodness. Woo. Wow. Such a good God. Such a good God. Hallelujah. You know, we had Ron mentioned a little bit about our work in Paraguay and the family we sit there, put in place there. Last month, ironically, 5 years to the day that Rhonda had the dream about Paraguay, we got a call from them about 9:30 at night. It was Evie Ratcliffe, the wife. We were sitting at the table with a couple from Nepal. Phone rang. I thought, well, look, there's the Ratcliffe's calling us from Paraguay. I was expecting just great news, but it wasn't great news. Rocked our world. She called me from the site of the accident they were just in. Peter and Evie have 6 children. They got a call. A lady had died, and they had been called and said, would you come and pray for this lady and bring her back from the dead? And so they felt like the Lord had told them, go resurrect this lady. So they were on the way to pray for the dead. And a truck that was sitting in the road with no lights, and they ran up underneath it. Killed their 15-year-old daughter. Sometimes your world gets rocked. You say, Lord, when you're doing so much in this family, and a nation is being shaken by the power of God. And I'm telling you this because I want you to see that God, when God puts a plan in place, nothing can stop it. And we've already mentioned how the harvest is ripe. And I'm not going to go through the whole story. I mean, it's just, we were on the plane the next day. 5 years to the day that Hope was restored to her, June 14th, we were on a plane to Paraguay, unexpected. But in the midst of this accident, actually at the crash site, which was way out in a remote area, 3 hours from Asuncion, so there they are, kids. Peter had a fractured neck, concussion, couldn't put a sentence together. Evie was the only one coherent enough to talk to me. But in that scene with their daughter basically dead instantaneous, I mean, without going into details, she was taken out instantly. Horrendous. Miracle that any of them survived because the vehicle was totally sheared off. There was nothing left of the roof. I mean, it was just seats exposed, and how any of them walked out of there, It is truly a miracle. But in that scene, there was a little house there, so they were all taken up into this little remote house there alongside the road, very primitive conditions, but it's the only place they could stay until the ambulance got there. In that little town, there was a little clinic, and a nurse came and tried to do what she could. It was beyond what she could even begin to manage. But in that scene, somebody mentioned tonight the harvest is white, and we don't need to forget about praying for the laborers. The harvest, it's ready, you know. in this scene with a daughter laying there bleeding to death, already vital signs gone, her husband not knowing if he's even gonna make it, other kids, you know, various bruises, and this late when the ambulance finally gets there and they start loading the family up, this clinic nurse, seeing whatever she saw, I'd like to talk to her. I don't know if she saw angels flying around. Something in that scene didn't bring tragedy. It brought hope to her. Because as they were taking Evie to the ambulance, she ran in front of Evie and fell on her knees and said, "Will you lead me to Jesus? I need this Jesus that you serve." You see, what did she do? She stepped into the light. She saw a light. She saw a light around that family. She didn't see tragedy. Yes, there was tragedy there. There was unimaginable tragedy. But she saw a light that she stepped into and said, "I need what is on this family." You see, a superficial savior will never produce a saturated saint. And that family is saturated. And when we become a saturated saint, it doesn't matter. All hell can break out around you. But people that are looking and seeing you, they're gonna step into that light. So this woman stepped into the light, received Jesus as her Lord and Savior. Evie had, you know, here she had to step out of a grieving mom, a worried wife, a mother of kids that are running around trying to figure out what in the world has happened to our family. And she has to stop all that and take this lady's hand and lead her in her sinner's prayer. And she did that. She did that. Sometimes we just got to step out of our world and step into the kingdom realm and do what God is asking us to do. It doesn't make sense. Does not make sense. But in the end, it will make sense. It will make sense. And that whole week down there in the midst of all that, we just saw, you know, yeah, there was tremendous grief, tears. I mean, we're still emotionally trying to get over it. It was so emotional for all of us. But also we saw God move. We saw people's lives touched. We saw hope restored to people. We saw people, this Mennonite community that opened up the community to us, gave us their church building to use for a funeral. If you understand anything about the Mennonites, this was so outside their box. All these evangelical crazies coming in and praying, believing for a resurrection. We believe for 24 hours for a resurrection. We prayed around the clock for that, for Emily. God didn't resurrect her. Doesn't mean that he still doesn't do it, though. And so they watched all this. And then at the funeral, you know, the first song we sang at the funeral, "Raise a Hallelujah." And those Mennonite brethren, God bless their soul for giving us the freedom, but they were just standing there bug-eyed. What in the world? But they had a chance to step into the light like they've never had a chance before. Amen. And we saw them taking that step. I mean, some of them it was just baby steps. Some of them it was so outside their box. But they took some steps that they've never stepped. And we believe, you know, this is how God works. In the midst of all this, we believe Mennonites are gonna come to a belief in the faith. It's not by works, you know. It's for them. It's by works, but they're gonna step into a realm of faith that's just gonna rock that.
Hallelujah.
Rock those people, because they're very loving people. And once they realize, you know, what Jesus has truly done for them, that he's already done it, they don't have to keep trying to do it. That they don't have to keep trying to do this and live this way and act this way. That all they got to do is just receive it by faith. Oh, it's gonna so liberate them. And I'm looking forward to that so much. And so I told you that again to say, man, I just see this prophecy just of us stepping into a new realm of the light of his glory. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says we're to go from glory to glory. And you know, we can't get satisfied with one realm of glory. There's more realms. We get comfortable. We get locked into a movement. We get locked into, you know, something of the past. But God's always got something new. He's always got something fresh for His church this hour. But we've got to be willing to step in and grab those scrolls of light, and as leaders, bring it back to the people and release it into the people. Hallelujah. Mm. And each, like I said, each scroll is going to have a very significant instruction, if you will, for each individual, each church. But it's all going to flow together. It's all going to work together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Oh, God, you're so good. So good. So good. Oh, hallelujah. Mm. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Mm. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Boy, I just feel wonderful presence of the Lord here right now. Hallelujah. Mm. Yes, we just take that step, Lord. We just take that step. We're hungry. And I believe a lot of the scrolls that are going to be given, especially leadership, it's going to be, we're going to be asked to go, as this group of pastors did in El Salvador, we're going to be asked to go and find business leaders, go to the marketplace and say, for the Lord would say to you, this, thus, and thus, and whatever that instruction may be. And again, they may probably will say no the first time. But we have to know that it's a word of the Lord, and His word doesn't return void. These pastors kept going to this man and said, you're the man of the hour. And finally got down to one and said, if you don't do this, you're going to be missing God. And fortunately, this man had enough sensitivity to the Spirit of God that he said, amen. Okay, Lord, I get your point. You know, I know none of us has had been told two or three times to do anything, but you know, this man needed three times to get it right, and so I really sense and believe that there's people in the land, pastors, leaders, apostles, prophets, whatever you want to put on, there's people in the land today that God is going to start instructing to go in the spirit of Elijah and anoint this new generation of leaders, kings, and priests with an anointing to either lead a region, lead a town, lead a business, or it could be to lead a nation, as in this case.
Amen.
Why, if we're going to see His kingdom established, it's got to be done with God's people in place. I mean, how else is it going to happen? Yeah. And how else is a person plowing in the field going to know unless somebody comes and tells him? Hallelujah. I mean, God yanked a pretty wise man out of whirlpool, I would say. You know, I mean, that's just God operates. He looks at the heart, you know, that's how he picked out King David. David was in the marketplace, out tending the sheep. I mean, that's the marketplace of the day. Plowing a team of oxen, that was the marketplace of the day. David was tending sheep. And God said, that's the one I'm looking for. Go get him. And so there's men and women out there right now that have a great call on their life. And they're just waiting for somebody to come and release that word. Speak into those dry bones and release a remarkable event in their life that will rattle their cage and say, oh, okay, that wasn't just a bunch of people coming and telling me something they read in a book. That was a word of the Lord, a sure word. Hallelujah. So, Father, we just thank you for your word tonight.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. God, I speak a blessing on these people. Bless these people, God. Bless the hunger that's in this place. Bless the hunger that's in this place. Hallelujah. Just take a few moments and just really get intentional in seeing yourself stepping into this new realm. Just get intentional with it. Just say, God, I'm releasing all of yesterday's movements. I'm releasing all of yesterday's taste. And I'm just clearing the slate now to step in fresh and anew into what you have for me. We just enter in, God. You know, I just heard the Spirit tell me that, you know, using that analogy of an engine in comparison to the size of a ship. But, you know, over years, whatever the mechanism may be, engines, the structure to push any man-made thing, they've actually got smaller over the years. But they've got more powerful. And we're going to see, especially in gatherings like this, you may not see the size that you think is needed, but it's not the size, it's the power that's in that. And so there's going to be a power released in gatherings like this. While the world's looking at the mega structures, the power is in gatherings like this. And again, this will be the push, the propellant that's going to push the body of Christ. And these are taking place all over this nation, all over the world. I mean, it may seem, gosh, everything outside is getting bigger, but it's getting smaller here. But just remember, there's an increase coming to those that are hungering and thirsting after God. There's an increase. And so just like in the natural, you know, I mean, think, what's it been, 40, 50 years ago, it would take a computer the size of this stage to run, they say that, you know, a phone has more capability now than the Apollo rockets did when they launched. And you know, it was a massive. And so the same is true in the spirit. You know, it seems like things are down, but there's a greater release. There's a greater, and so the release that's in this body like this is touching this region more powerfully now than it ever could have done 15, 20, 25 years ago, even 5 years ago. And if you'll continue to hunger and thirst, that's only going to intensify. The power is going to increase. The dynamics are going to increase. And the word that God releases in this place is going to have a greater impact and a greater, it's going to hit the target. Going to hit the target. Yeah. Because when you come back with those lights, those scrolls of light, it's going to have the exact word that's needed for the target of that day, to bring down that power, to bring down that principality. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm still trying to, last night, I had a kind of a vision of some type, and I still haven't got clarity on it, but God showed me this vision of some type of warring, you know, demonic warrior over this region. And he would go out from this area, and he always, and I remember saying, God, how does he find his way back to his ground zero, if you will? And he said he always uses the lake as a as a point of reference. And so I saw him just continuing this, no, not a complete circumference because of the lake, but he used the lake as he could always find his way back to that, because he would get, and I guess he was probably hitting the prayers of the people of places like this that would kind of throw him off track, and he would lose his bearings, but he would always, you know, somehow find the shore of the lake and able to get back. But I saw a disruption in his inner GPS, is the only way I can describe it, that's going to so confuse him in this area that he's not going to be able to, because at that ground zero is where he gets his instructions from the demonic realm. And so I saw this disruption of his communications, the only way I know, his communication from headquarters being disrupted by the prayers of gatherings like this, that's going to, so he's not going to be able to get back to his home base to get further instructions, and he's just going to become a wandering imp that has no power. And finally he's going to say, I got to find another place because I'm wasting my time here. So, Father, we just thank you. We just disrupt the airways of that demonic stronghold that's been over this region for years, actually hundreds of years. I see 100 years of a stronghold of this demonic warrior, but God, he's getting more confused. He's having a harder time finding his way back home. And I thank you, God, that those final little pathways that he works through to get back to his home base, it's being closed off, it's being shut off, it's being eradicated. And he has no ability on his own to find his way. He is rudderless. He is futureless. And he is powerless in the name of Jesus. We declare it now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Freedom. 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 Hallelujah. I don't have a name, but you know the name, God. You know what he's all about. And so you just send your angels to just disrupt, continue to give wisdom to these people and these leaders and apostolic and prayer warriors in this area to continue just releasing the atmosphere, remarkable events, the four winds that's just going to, that's part of the disruption of his communication skills, is these four winds are just going to blow his call back to home, is just going to get blown away. Amen. Off into the atmosphere. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father. So we thank you for breakthrough, 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 breakthrough in this region, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You know, I heard a couple more thoughts here. I heard God, and I spoke this to our people. You know, as priests, we're called to bless and not curse. And so I've been telling this everybody where I go since then. I would encourage you to start speaking a blessing over this region and not curse it. You know, but as New Testament priests, let's be a people of blessing. Let's really, the blessing will override any curse that's in the land. So we're not called to add to the curse. We're called to bless and break the curse. So we break the curse that's over this region. We break the curse. We break the onslaught of antichrist spirits that have tried to take a stronghold over this region. Father, I just release a blessing over that. Over the Muslim community, I release a blessing over that whole religion that's moved into this area, into Michigan. I speak a blessing over Dearborn, Michigan, and I say, let the light of the Lord impact that town in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we speak a blessing. Businesses prosper in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, a prosperity in this country, in this county, in this state, in this region. I bless this land in the name of Jesus. Bless it. Hallelujah. bless it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then apply that to your own life. I challenged our people to just, you know, take 30, 60, 90 days and just try to speak blessings. And, you know, if we really do an inventory, we'd be surprised how many curses we release with our words. And just be intentional and just do nothing but blessing. Just release a blessing. Hallelujah. So I bless you all. I just bless you all. Bless you for coming out on a Friday night. Bless you for the hunger you have. Lord, just answer their hunger with just your peace, your joy, and your righteousness, which is the kingdom of God. Just release it on them right now, Father. Bless them. Bless their businesses. Thank you for the businesses of this town being blessed. Thank you for the blessings upon this church. Thank you, God, for a greater impact that this church is going to make, not but because of the size, but because of the anointing that's going to increase. Greater impact, greater influence, greater favor of God. Hallelujah. Thank you for your favor upon this body. I got a pastor friend at Texas that always says, favor is fair. It's fair. Hallelujah. So don't ever feel bad about the favor of God opening doors for you that no man can open. Because he's the Father, and he's, what do we sing tonight? He's a good Father. And he wants to pour his favor out upon us. He is pouring his favor out upon us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, man. God's just so good. Hallelujah. Before I close, you want to just have any pain, sickness in your body? Just lift your hand. I'm not going to call you forward. Here's a couple. Couple right now. Yeah. I see some thumbs pointing. Father, you see these hands right now. You know the need. You even know that some of them even walked in need doors saying, God, I need you to touch me. So, Father, you've already heard their cry, and you've been touching them. But now, Father, complete what you started when they walked in the door. Complete it right now. All pain go. Every joint issue gone. In Jesus' name. You're the healer, Jesus. So touch them right now with your touch. Yes. Thank you for heart palpitations being healed right now. Fluttering heart. Electrical misfiring. I speak to those electrodes. Those electrical functions of the heart. And I say, be made whole now. Yes. A Holy Ghost defibrillator. That just brings it all in normalcy now. Zap them, God. Holy Ghost zap right now. Whew. Yes. Just touch him right now. Yes. Boy, I just see the weightiness of healing right now resting on those that got their hands up. Yes. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Father, thank you for giving me the strength, the voice to get through this tonight. You're such a good God. You never fail. You never fail us. God, in our weakness, you're made strong. God, it's not about what we feel physically. It's just, are we willing to stand up and open our mouth? And your word says you'll fill it. And so Father, I pray that I've released what you desire to be released to this body and over this region. I know, God, that you've brought me here for this time to just cross-pollinate with what we've been pollinated with as we've traveled this globe and if we've traveled this country. I just thank you for the opportunity to just cross-pollinate with this region, to continue to see your kingdom come and your will being done. It's your will, God. Oh, we've tried to do it with our might and power, and it's so futile. It's so ridiculous to keep fighting that battle when we know, God, it's by your Spirit. And God, if we'll just realize that if we just hunger as this man did in the depths of a legalistic denomination, but he cried out to you and your hand touched him on an airplane. God, you've done the same to me on an airplane. So I know it's real because I have experienced it also. And as Ron shared today, when the hand of the Lord touched him, God, what it did to him, your hand touching a individual or a group of believers, that's a remarkable event. Woo! Nothing any more remarkable than the hand of the Lord touching us. Oh, God, we need your hand. So just touch us fresh and anew even now. Fresh touch. Fresh breath. Restored hope. Renewed passion. Unshakable faith. In spite of what we see in the natural, our faith is not shaken. Hallelujah. Though we saw a body go in the ground, we've already seen new life spring forth. So our faith is not shaken. Our faith is in you, Lord. You have the final say. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Is anyone else? I sense maybe somebody else. Anyone else got a word? I don't want to shut anybody else out, but there's a lot of stuff in the atmosphere. Just want to make sure. Anyway, Pastor, I feel like I'm released what I needed to, so thank you, brother.
Yeah, go ahead and stand up. Stand up.